Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite podcast in the world. With a fair warning, we didn't talk about anything before this podcast started,
it may
be unhinged. So you have your two favorite hosts in the entire world. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful night for a podcast.
Show enough is.
We are sleepy. This is, this episode is different. This is a different kind of episode.
Yeah, I'm also going to put a different intro music to this.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, are you going to put the Seattle Med intro music?
No. By this time, they'll already be listening to it. So It's going to be the intro theme of The Office.
Oh, I see.
This for sure felt like I was watching it and I was like, are they trying to do an Office?
I mean, it's a mockumentary. So, yeah, there's other shows that do it. But I think The Office would probably be everyone's like first like one that they thought of.
Yeah. So you're going to hear some different music today. I don't know how I'm going to get our music into it, but it's going to be great. The second half of this episode, I'll do the normal music, but not the first. Also, the crumbling is Twizzlers. I mean, some.
This episode is very divisive among Grey's fans. People really hate this episode. Like, this is like,
what?
If you ask people like the top five episodes of Grey's that they hate the most, this is probably on a lot of people's lists, or people really like it. Like, there's not a lot of middle ground, and I obviously know that, like, going in. And I was trying to watch it and I was like, I guess I really feel like the only reason you would hate it is just because it's so different. But other than that, I'm like, it's not bad. It's just
think it was that bad at all. It was different. Call me crazy. I actually kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah. I will. I mean, I call you crazy. Not for that, but for other things.
All right. Yeah.
How's therapy going?
Still haven't been back. How's therapy going for you, a-hole?
It's great.
Okay.
I'm on my period, Carmen. Leave me alone. It started like 4 hours ago.
Ooh. If only we recorded yesterday.
Yes, but I watched the episode today.
Same.
I have recently started using Facebook Marketplace to sell things, and people are
wild.
I mean, but not in like a negative way. Just like, I put up like a stereo from 1998, and like the number of people messaging me about it in like a 5 hour period was insane. I was like, you guys, It is 2024. Why do so many people want this? I sold it to a very nice lady, but it also sold
for how
a desk.
Much?
$25. And based on all of the messages I got, I probably could have listed that shit for like 50.
Wow.
And I sold a desk.
I will tell you.
My mom's couch.
You remember,
some coolers.
Wow.
Like, people really will just buy all my shit on Marketplace, apparently.
I felt like Orlando was like that too. Like, I put, remember that that grill that we had that was like just completely basically rusted through?
Yeah.
I sold it on like a Memorial Day or 4th of July weekend for like $80. And someone just came in their trailer and picked it up. I don't even know if it made it to their house.
Yeah.
in one it's piece. And we went crazy. Out and used that $80 and bought a new grill that day. Like, yeah. It was crazy.
And then, it's also annoying because, it's Facebook Marketplace, so I obviously brought Watson with me. But then I was like, yeah. Well, I have to have him out back because I don't actually want him to attack these people. But, I want to have the option for him to, attack these people if they mm-hmm. attack me first. Mm-hmm. But none of them did. But he was still mad. So he's just, screaming in the backyard. And I was like, right. I promise. It was just because people would get there and I would be like, also, we're selling literally everything inside of this house. So if there's anything else you want. And so people were just meandering around looking. I was like, yes, please buy more stuff.
How much for these people? How much for your mother?
A lot of people tried to buy the house. My mom's it's not listed yet.
That's why we're selling this crap.
My mom's like, it's not listed yet. And they're like, do you want to sell it without a realtor? And she's like, no, I want a realtor to do everything for me. I don't mm-hmm. have to do it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who are like, for sale by owner because we don't want to have to pay the fees. My time is worth the fees. Just
yeah,
let
it's like
someone
3%.
Else do it.
Settle down. It's yeah. not that much.
Inflation got you your house will be fine. Just sell it.
It's really for and yeah. I feel like people don't understand how much legal shenanigans there are in buying and selling
so much,
especially if you're doing financing through a bank. Mm-hmm. If you have the cash, then it's probably not as intense, but most people aren't buying a house in full cash, so
yeah,
there's so much legal bullshit.
It is the worst. So before we jump in, I know Kelsey and we obviously have some shout outs we'll get to in a second, but go ahead and fast forward a little bit into your episode if you don't want to hear this. The talking part, the bantering. Mm-hmm. If the bantering upsets you, then banter off. So we were watching The Lion King.
Ugh, nope.
Yeah. At dinner. And I was getting really emotional. Well, so we were watching it from the beginning, and Marlo's never watched it. And they were doing the Be Prepared song, and she's like, these are bad guys. And we're like, yes, Marlo. I'm glad.
Congratulations.
Between understanding that Syndrome is the bad guy and understanding that Scar and Whoopi Goldberg and the other hyenas are bad guys, that not Whoopi Goldberg, the person. Whoopi is, I'm sure, fine. But she's the only one who I know off the top of my head. And then Matthew Broderick, who's a good guy. We're sitting there and she's like, those are bad guys. And I was like, yes, Marlo, you're correct. So anyways, so it gets to the scene where Mufasa is dead. And Jessica, I'm like, I don't think we're ready. Skip it. Go skip. So we skip to him running away and Scar basically just saying, run away, you stupid little boy kid. And it was sad. I was getting emotional.
Yeah.
I was also getting emotional when Mufasa was having that scene with Simba, and Simba's like, nothing scares you, dad. And he's like, today I was scared, you little shit. Like, you did something stupid and it made me scared.
Yeah, it's scary. I don't want to watch it because of the part where he says where Mufasa dies mainly. And then also the part where they're just like, here's the dead body of a lion and also his baby. Being like, please, please wake up.
Yeah. Yeah. When he started,
that's like a fucking nightmare. Like, I can't watch that. I absolutely will not watch it. And like, it sucks because Lion King is easily one of the greatest films ever made. Like, easily. Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. changed the face of cinema, both animated and just like in general. Like, it did a lot for films. It's so well done. But like, I have a deep-seated trauma from that film. Like, I cannot watch it, and I definitely cannot watch it now that I have kids. And I want them to see it, but I'm like, Michael, I'll just either leave during that part or, not watch it at all with them.
Yeah. The scene started, and Simba was like, Dad, come on. And I'm like, Jess, I think we should skip this. I'm not ready to take all of her childhood away at this exact moment.
Yeah, it's like fucking brutal. Like, I can't.
It is. It's crazy. And honestly, it is so good. And you're making me want to do a full deep dive on.
Yeah, I think we definitely could.
The movie, because there's so much. Like, this was the one of two VHS that I completely broke as a child from watching it on repeat. This in the Jungle Book. And I just, like, yeah, Lion King and Jungle Book were my two favorite movies as a kid. And I just, you know, I'm very curious. What did it do for cinema now? Now you've made me, you've piqued my curiosity.
Also, it's like wild because in my brain that happens right at the beginning. And it's really like a long time into the movie before that happens.
No, it's like in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, but like in my head, I'm like, it's immediate. But there's several songs before.
Goodbye, Mufasa is dead.
Hello, I'm the king. Hello, I have died. Because I'm like, oh, I'll just start the movie after that. But there's like a lot of plot before it, so you can't really just start the movie after that.
Yeah, there's a lot of lead up. Anyway, so that was what we were doing. And then Marlo was like, she saw that she got a new book in the mail from the paper pie thing, poopy pie from Leah's book club thing. And all she wanted to do was read this book. And I'm like, Marla, I just need to trim your nails. You have really long nails. And she was like, dude, she's in squirmy mode. So when she's not getting her way and you're holding her, she will squirm out and practically fall to the floor. And I'm like, I can't do this with you.
Okay, I have to do a huge shout out right now. This is absolutely fucking incredible. As everyone knows, a couple weeks ago on May 22nd, my sister got married in Savannah. It was amazing. It was very, very like a very intimate ceremony, like just parents, siblings, like some very close immediate family. Like I think there were like 14 of us all together.
Yeah, we had a good time.
It was amazing. And Carmen wasn't there, which is why I loved it so much. Just kidding. Oh. That was mean. but it came up that Clay, my sister's husband, his dad is rewatching Grey's Anatomy.
Oh.
And my sister was like, Kelsey has a Grey's Anatomy podcast, which sometimes mortifies me because I like wonder, because like, as we've recently discussed, we are very vulgar on this podcast. And sometimes I like worry about the audience that we know in real life finding it and being like, yikes on bikes.
Who are these people? I don't even know who they are anymore.
I have to read this email that literally we just got. I'm loving the podcast and hearing you two give your commentary. I'm on season 3, episode 11, and look forward to hearing more. Joe from Orlando, a.k.a. Clay's dad. This is the greatest thing I've ever gotten in my entire life. I'm like going to cry. Shout out.
Tell him to subscribe to the Patreon.
Shout out Joe. He's amazing. He's so funny.
Wow. That is so wild. Joe from Orlando.
Amazing. So when he gets to this point, that's so funny.
If he's already in season 3, episode 11, he's going to be here quick. Like,
yeah.
There's been so many people that I've been Instagram messaging who are like, I finished and now I don't know what to do. I guess I'll just restart listening to the podcast again. And I'm like, okay, like, thank you.
Please. I mean, I re-listen to Gilmore Girls a lot. Or Gilmore Guys. Sorry. It's confusing because I rewatch Gilmore Girls and I re-listen to Gilmore Guys.
I did tell Jess I wanted to watch that show. So
it's a good show.
I think I'm going to watch it from the beginning because all I know about it is Luke, Rocky's son.
Mm-hmm.
Hollis Doyle and the grandpa and the immediate family. But like what actually happens, I don't know. There's an episode where I think Paris, who also is in How to Get Away with Murder under the name something else, Abby, Allison, what's her name?
Amanda.
Amanda.
I was like, I'm going to get there. My brain is working.
We're going to do this. There's a scene where she has a briefcase and I think she kicks a bathroom door because she
sees the revival.
Yeah, I've seen parts of the revival.
Okay. Speaking of rewatching, I have been rewatching Scandal.
We talked about that last week. Yeah.
I texted you that I wanted to talk about likable villains.
Okay.
Cause there's someone in Scandal and I'm like, I am not supposed to like this person. I think it makes me a bad person that I like this person.
Is it Cyrus Bean?
It's absolutely Cyrus Bean.
So, okay, again, I know we talked fast forward.
If you haven't watched Scandals, if you don't want spoilies, definitely skip probably at least a minute and then check back in. But we're going to talk about this. I am in early season five, like the third episode of season 5. I know that by the end of the show, I don't like him. But like watching it now, I'm like, every time something happens to him that is sad, I'm like, I feel bad for you. And typically when they do villain, like, quote unquote origin stories, I'm like, oh, well, sucks to suck. You don't have to be an asshole. And I just like feel bad for him. Also, like when they show him like being so thought out and like manipulative and like just like the chess moves that man makes, I'm like, that's fucking amazing. Like, yes, it's bad, but also I'm like, games, he's got game. Like, I mean, like, you're just so fucking good at the game, Cyrus.
It's funny because we never actually sat down and did our full Scandal like Patreon episode, so I won't go too far down my rabbit hole, but I will tell you that I do not feel like that is as hot of a take as probably other people do, because I also find myself wanting constantly redemption arcs. I love I love a comeback story. We mm-hmm. love Kim Kardashian, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. If you know, you know. And when I'm sitting there watching, especially when he was like in jail and he just had the absolute shit beat out of him. Mm-hmm. I'm like, guys, what if he's innocent? Like, and like, you really do. There's like a lot of stuff that happens where you're like, oh, I want this man. Like, poor, sweet, ugly Cyrus can't be handsome enough with a full head of hair to be president.
Let that America's man be. He's not that ugly.
America's not ready for a gay president. Like, all these things that they talk about and they hit on these topics of the show. And I'm like, man, like, I kind of find myself rooting for him. Yeah, it is. He's very much a chess player.
I just think when I watch it and like knowing
he's an empath, you want way, to empathize with him.
Well, the way that bad. Like the writers portray things, I'm like, the way that like things are scored underneath and like the way that things are shot, I'm like, they want me to be mad at this man right now. And I am not. Like, I'm mad at these other people who they want me to be rooting for. I have yet to root for Olivia and Fitz, guys. I just cannot get behind it.
I never was on that. I think that was why I had such a hard time with that show. Was because I never was super invested in their relationship. The on-again, off-again thing for Olivia and Fitz just never made sense. Like,
well, the on-again, off-again thing for Olivia and Fitz makes perfect sense to me.
Oh, sorry.
It's that I'm supposed to care about someone whose entire relationship is rooted in a lie and hurting a lot of people around them and, like, betraying
adultery
the American people.
And, yeah.
So, yeah, it's just... Anyways, okay, so that was my little Scandal riff.
Yeah, we can go more in-depth on that, but I'll tell you what. Melly Grant can do anything she wants to me.
Mm, so true. I love Melly. Also, we have a new Patreon.
Oh, it's Melly Grant herself.
Sorry.
No.
There's lots of noises. We have Claudio. Yay, Claudio.
Claudio.
Who had emailed a while ago. And we read the email on the podcast. So, yay.
I love that. I've got some shout outs, some okay. shouty outies. First, I'm going to give a dad joke from Renee. You hear that Hulk has started recycling? The Incredible Hulk started recycling? He's really going green.
Nice.
Thank
Solid.
You. Thank you. That was a good one, Renee. Shout out. All right. Joyce.
Okay.
Joyce from the Netherlands had followed a while back. Like, I think I responded to her follow back in April, and she just responded to me this Saturday. She's on the 99th episode as of Sunday. So she's got a while to catch up. She's going to get here. Everything's going to be amazing. So Joyce from the Netherlands, when you get here, shout out to you. To Alicia, our riff of White Sox and Red Sox will never die. Really appreciate the fun baseball riffing and bantering. Let's see who else here. I've got a big
list. I had Ahura. Ahura messaged me and we spoke.
Oh yeah?
Yes. So
Aloha,
and also someone
Aroha.
Sarah, who said she also had spoken with you on the Instagram.
Olivia.
And also shout out Megan, who's going to come back for an episode this season. Sorry, there was a huge noise and it scared the shit out of me, so I had to find out what it was. And it was Watson falling off the bed. So
okay.
Maria messaged. We talked a little bit on Instagram about your predictions, both right and
how
wrong.
I'm always amazing. Oh,
and how she likes the show. And Jennifer sent a very, very nice message about she and her husband are doing a Grey's rewatch. But she had not watched the entire series all the way through. So this time she's going to watch and become current. So she's enjoying the podcast along with her watch.
Yes.
And she and her husband have both worked in hospitals for like 20 years. And so they also constantly say, where is HR? And I said, we might have to have you on the show to ask you hospital questions because we have no fucking clue what is going on ever.
Yeah, I my friend Layla, who works as she's a nurse for plastics, and I'm like you need to come on the show. You absolutely have to come on the show, to talk about this. I think those were all the shoutouts. I feel like there's more shoutouts than I'm supposed to have, and I just don't remember. And I'm looking through my messages, and I'm like, I got to them all. I got them all last time. Hold on, there is one. Kathleen, who is one of our new Patreon members, had reached out to us after we had recorded and loving the podcast. She said she's been binging it since Christmas break, and she was really stoked when the season 6 finale obviously had gotten there. And she really loves the predictions part, and yeah, she's loving being on Patreon. So Kathleen, shout out, thank you for being here. There it is. That's the one I'm looking for. Sarah is a new Instagram follower as well on a rewatch, and she started the podcast over again. She said the bomb episodes were her favorite. And Alex screaming in that lady's face lives rent in my brain.
so true.
Yeah, want to definitely shout that out. And she loves that on this podcast we give so much love to Christina, Mark, and Arizona. So they're great characters. So Sarah, shout out to you. And then last one that I have is for Megan, who I think we both were messaging her. She said the spider saga made her very itchy and she just skipped past it. So
gross.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we can talk about this episode. Then we started with it and then we got back off of it and now we'll come back to it. Okay. This is the 6th episode of the 7th season. It is episode 131 overall. It is called These Arms of Mine. And that is a song.
These Arms of Mine is a song. These Arms of Mine, it's multiple, but it's actually singular in this instance. So These Arms of Mine is a song by Otis Redding. Hiccup burp. Released in October 1962. This is from the album Pain in My Heart. This was one of the singles off of the album. Now, what's interesting, so there's a lot of information on this on Wikipedia, but I'm not going to go into all of this here, but I do want to cite my source. He was actually in another band, the Pat Tea Cake band. It was Pat Tea Cake's band. And he
Patty
had
cakes.
Laid down Patty Cakes.
You're welcome.
That's funny. Pat Tea Cakes. That's funny. I didn't get it. Now I get it. That's just literally so funny. Here's your sign. Old Jeff Foxworthy. Anyways, so he was playing with them. He ended up putting a couple songs down, and it was pretty successful. So it reached as high as number 85 in the Hot 100 Billboard Hot 100 in the United States, and then it reached number 20 on the Billboard R&B singles charts. So I think he went on to kind of be his own solo artist, but selling 800,000 copies as kind of a guy who was part of another band and just threw down some tracks with Atlantic Records. That's pretty darn cool. So the song was a little bit slow for my taste, but it's still a fine song for R&B, not too shabby. I'm going to give
Can
it a
3 out of 5. Do you just not like ballads at all?
I like ballads when they are power 80s ballads and they involve Hans.
So, like, you don't like any slow songs? Do you like any Adele albums?
No. Oh, terrible.
My God,
so
Adele
slow.
Is so good.
I don't want songs that make me want to be sad.
But, like, sometimes you're sad in life.
I'm never sad in life, ever.
That's
except for the times that I am
incorrect.
Sad.
I know that you're sad.
Yeah, that's fair. But when I'm sad, the last thing I want to do is listen to music. I want to sit in complete silence when I'm sad.
Sometimes you want to feel your sads.
I eat
you can
my
get
sads.
Into this in therapy.
Yeah. So, did you know that Doritos are bad for you, by the way?
Yeah. Oh. Have you tasted them?
They're delicious. Is that why they're so bad for you? Anyways, it's 3 out of 5, although it did not make it to my iTunes playlist, but still I respect the drip, and I'm going to yeet it over to you, Kelsey.
Thank you so much. I just find it interesting that you don't like slow songs.
It's not that I don't like slow songs. It's just that I prefer fast songs.
But you say slow songs are not good.
I retract that statement officially.
Thank you.
My preference is not slow songs. Like, when I think of a slow song, I want some build to it, okay? Like, when I think of as ballady as, like, I think that I really could sit there and rock out to and enjoy, would be, like, I Miss You, Blink-182. I actually really like the song State of Grace by Taylor Swift, and I would say that that's not a ballad, but that's a slower-paced song. It's not an upbeat song. I can sit there and that Adele song, something about fire in the rain, right? Mm. Fine. Yeah. It's fine. Whatever. Fine.
That's like, I love Adele. Like, love her. Like, would probably sell my kidney to go see her live. That's pretty low on my list of songs for her. Like, that's one of my least favorite. The fact that that is one that, like, they played as a single, I was like, there's just so many much, like, better. Like, she, like,
I have
fucking
seen,
gets it.
I have seen Paul McCartney, I think, 5 or 6 times. And every time they play The Long and Winding Road, I go take a piss.
A long and winding road.
But yesterday is a good song. Yeah. And it's a good song. I can appreciate that it's an amazing song. It's just not, it's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll make you a list of songs that I think you should listen to.
And I will listen to every single one. Oh, wait. Last shout out to Alicia. I did listen to that album. Respectfully.
Respectfully. That's what Carmen wants to do. I can tell you.
Listen, I can sit there and here's, I think I would have liked it more if I knew going into it that it's an all instrumental album. There's no singing.
Oh, what
it's
album
just
is
instruments.
This?
It's polyphia, polyphia, and the album is Renaissance from 2016. Great musicians. Every single person in that band is a better musician than I am. But there is just no singing.
Okay. This episode was written by Stacey McKee.
I also would like to shout
Stephen
out
Craig.
Say that again. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Written by Stacey McKee and directed by Stephen Craig. So both have done Grey's before. Aired October 28th, 2010 to 10.7 million views. So down even more from last week.
What?
People are not vibing on like post shooting Grey's.
Well, no one's died. They're waiting for, that this episode someone dies.
Yeah. Okay. Netflix synopsis is A documentary crew visits the hospital 6 months after the shooting to document the road to recovery for doctors and patients. Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah, pretty accurate.
All right, Hulu, what say you? It's trying to get me to watch season 20. Because that's what I'm actually watching on Hulu.
Also, while you're pulling that up, shout out to Janisha, who is very much a great warning flag for me. No spoiler advertisements on Instagram and Hulu. I don't want that crap. Get it out of here.
Okay, this is Hulu. A documentary crew visits the hospital 6 months after the shooting. Again, it's just the first part of Grey's. Like, I don't understand. Or just the first part of the one on Netflix.
It's lazy. It's lazy is what it is. Yeah,
it is. All right, well, that's what it is, so.
Dare we take a break from our regional sponsors?
No.
All right, let's do it. We'll be right back. And we're back. Hooray. All right. Let's do this. We got a lot of shit and I got gummies and Pez to eat.
So I read the little blog that Stacey, the writer for this episode, wrote when it aired. This is her first episode back from maternity leave. And apparently while she was on maternity leave, she was like binge watching Boston Med. So that's kind of how this came to be.
Is that like documentary style? Is that?
It is. It is a documentary. Okay. A medical documentary that was on ABC over the summer. So kind of like in between when their primetime like stuff was airing, that's what she would watch. And she said, so a standard episode of Grey's has anywhere from like 45 to 50 scenes. And this episode had 135 scenes.
Whoa.
So a lot of different, like, I mean, you can tell it's cut differently. It's shot differently. It's, I mean, and it's, they really leaned into it. They were like, if you're going to make it different, it's got to be different. They're not like doing a little bit of the mockumentary and then a little bit of regular Grey's. Like they just went full mockumentary.
That's what I was expecting though. I want you to know that as I was watching it, I thought like, especially when Meredith goes, can we cut? I thought they were going to like go back to full, like truly the other.
Yeah, half. They didn't break it at all. Yeah, I kind of like that about it. I'm like, if this is how you're going to tell the story, then this is how you should tell it. And they did. And I like that. You got to see patients in a different light. We normally only see them like through the lenses of the doctors, which is not the case in this episode. Also, when people talk directly to a camera, it's just different.
It's really funny. I like it.
They were able to lean a little bit more into the humor that is like right there in Grey's. Also, Teddy dropped the F-bomb. So that's amazing. I wish there was more. Like, honestly, I would prefer a show where instead of saying freaking or like go screw yourself, just say go fuck yourself and bleep it. Like, that's my preference.
Yeah. When they I wish they would have just not bleeped it either.
Well, what was it? She was on like ABC, saying, so open the fucking door.
Open the fucking door.
Guardians just like of the Star-Lord, Galaxy.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, I really liked it. Can you tell me what some of, like, when you watch this? Yeah, I want to know some of the hate. I want to know kind of where it comes from. Because if it's just because it's different, I think you guys are missing the point of Shonda.
I agree. And well, I think it's also because storylines are like less fleshed out in a way. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, because the storyline is the documentary.
Yeah. Let me get back on Reddit because there's literally a whole Reddit like thread just about this episode because it's so divisive.
That's probably not one that I should look at.
No. I will say a lot of people love the Derek line, Dr. Yang and my wife have sleepovers in my bed with me in it.
Yeah, that probably was the highlight of the episode.
I'm trying to find, this is people like defending it. I'm like, okay, so where are the people that are hate it? Oh, the documentary is slower and calmer, even though it's a lot of trauma. It doesn't feel as like chaotic as a normal episode of Grey's.
I don't feel like the last couple of episodes have been very chaotic, though.
It makes me more aware of how the normal show drums up the drama. I'm like, well, yeah.
It's a drama.
I mean, there are a lot of people that were like, I wish every episode would be like that. I'm like, well, I don't wish that.
Yeah, apparently you can just go watch Boston Met for that.
Yeah.
I really like, I mean, I feel like they had a very kind of cohesive story they were telling as their overarching theme, and they would use that as splitting branches for other stories. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand. It took me a second to understand what was going on. I was like, what is happening?
Because
it was like,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, it seemed when I was watching it that it wasn't like as HD as it usually is. Like, yeah. I could tell the camera was like not great. And I was like, oh man, is this my internet? And then all of a sudden, when they're treating it like all of a sudden Meredith is talking to them back, and I'm like, oh, this is different.
Yeah.
This is, and I've never watched Boston Med. So in my head, it was The Office. So, but there were a couple of scenes where like the dude with no arms was making some really intense comedic jokes. And I'm like, that, and the wife, which I think I know her.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Yeah, I know. It took me a while to recognize her, though.
Couldn't be a more different character.
Oh, yeah. Likeable. Much more likeable.
Like Cyrus.
Like Cyrus. Like Thanos.
Like Thatcher. Just like kidding. Thatcher. I hate Thatcher.
Oh, goodness.
I like Cyrus way more than Thatcher.
Any of you guys on Patreon listening to this episode, I need you guys in the current episode chat to talk about two things. Number one, likable villains. Where are we at? Who do we feel like? And number two, there was something else. Oh, thoughts on Lion King. Just that. Anyways. And if you want to join the Discord, you want to be on our Patreon, Grey's Academy pod, patreon.com/Grey's Academy pod. Why does Lexi's scanner not work? Why is that the thing they decide to put in this as a integral part of this episode?
I think they were just like, let's pick someone. That one person will be the encapsulate all the issues with the security system. And that person was Lexi. Because they were like, we have to show that we had a response, but it has to like be bad.
And leave before the episode is over.
Yeah.
All right, so let's take it from the beginning. Where do you want to start? Or what storyline do you want to talk through first?
Let's just talk about the arms. You know, it's a big one.
That's got to be next episode. That's a long one. That's like, I have the most notes on that.
Okay, fine. I guess we can be start sad.
Oh, Mandy Moore?
Yeah.
I was so excited to have her back.
At what point did you think she was going to die?
None. When she was
dead. Wow. I really thought you were going to say when she said she was excited to have babies. You were like, that's it. That's when you know she's going to die.
No, I was like, this episode is so different. They must let everyone have happy endings, please. And then when the guy walks in with the flowers and she's laying there and I'm like, okay, this is the worst. Yeah. Sweets, America's sweetheart, Mandy Moore.
And Seattle Grace's sweetheart, Miranda Bailey.
Miranda Bailey can't catch a break. I was like, man, if anyone's going to get some closure on this, it's going to be Miranda Bailey. And of course, Miranda Bailey does not get closure. She gets to just wreck a life, and not her fault. Her life gets wrecked, honestly.
So Mandy Moore, Mary and Bill come back to the hospital to do the surgery that Mary was supposed to have done the day of the shooting. Obviously, Miranda and Mary went through the trauma of the shooting together, so they have like a very special bond. So they're like, Miranda's glad to like do this and get the surgery done, and she's like, this is a super common surgery. I do like two or three a day. It's not a big deal. It's like in and out in an hour.
It's just removing the colostomy bag. That's all it is.
Bill and Mary are, it's been so long since the shooting, for them to come back because they started traveling. They were like, life is short. Let's fucking go. So they've been traveling. They've done cruises, gone all over the world. Like, great. And she's like, after surgery, we're going to travel more. We're going to have kids. It's going to be good. It's great. Everything's going to be amazing. They do the surgery and then she just never wakes up for no reason. No discernible reason.
There's a scene. Well, I'll circle back to that in a second. There's a scene where Bailey's checking on her in the beginning and Bailey kind of makes a face when she's telling her she's traveled all the over the world. I don't know if I was reading into it, but the face that Bailey made, I thought that like she was going to be sick and not be able to do the surgery. Like that was the worst I thought was going to happen, is Bailey was going to be like, oh, we can't do your surgery. You'll have to come back and give the fans three episodes of Mandy Moore. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool, cool, cool. And then when they're at home, they're like panning back and it's like, showing them at home. She's like, lots of babies. We're going to do it after the colostomy bag is out. Which I cannot imagine. Can you imagine being pregnant and having a colostomy bag? I don't even know if it's physically possible. But yeah. And then the surgery happens and she hugs the guy and she's like, yeah, it's easy. They're going to wheel her out in like 5 minutes, dude. And he's like, yes, hugs all around. And Bailey's like, you know, not very often do we get wins, but today I got a win.
Ugh, God, it's brutal. Stacy, so disrespectful. And she goes,
tonight I might actually go out. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to take the night off and go grab a fucking drink with the girls. I'm going out and getting Schwifty, and Mandy Moore gets not Schwifty.
So the scene at the end of the episode where Bailey's like sitting on the gurney in the hallway crying and it's silent, like that we don't have the audio, nobody talks to her, she doesn't even lift her head up. In the blog, the writer wrote that when they filmed that scene, every single person was sobbing because Chandra Wilson is so good.
I believe it.
Yeah. Like, ugh, it just hurts my heart.
It's crazy to think that the human body, there's still so much that we know so much. This episode in itself is so weird. Mm-hmm. Like Lily,
that's true.
Alex's patient, the stuff that they talk about with the science, it's insane to think that what science has been able to do and accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't reverse comas. We don't know why they're caused. There's still these subjects that happen that we don't know what's going on. And this is one of them. And how long? She was in a coma for what, 3 weeks? Or
4 weeks.
4 weeks. And there was no brain activity. She was septic.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, not even a donor.
It was like best case scenario, she'll have like a minimal brain function.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if that's the best case scenario. So ultimately Bill makes the decision to take her off of life support, which it's just like, how do you, I mean, and they say like, you know, you survive that shooting. Like Gary Clark was in her room with that gun and she survived that man's rampage and then just doesn't wake up from a very routine surgery.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh, it just breaks your heart.
Yeah. The subtitles that they put in there in their documentary.
Yeah.
Really, man.
Which dagger. I think that is really cool because there's so many episodes where you and I say like, oh, my truth is like, they go home and everything is perfect. Or like my truth is they go home and like X, Y, and Z happens. And in, because of the way that they do this episode, they get to do that for us.
Yeah. This is the actual truth. And it was 3 days later, he removed her from life support. Man, it's shitty.
Yeah.
Like it sucks. You come back from maternity leave and you kill Mandy Moore. Can you live with that on your conscience? It was sad.
It was really sad. I agree. So I will say on Reddit, there's not a lot of people like explaining why they hate it. they're just saying, I hate it. I skip it every time. I can't, like, well, there are people saying they hate the camera work in it, which is fair. It's very different. Like, it's like not it's a jarring. Steady cam.
Yeah.
And it's also, when you think about the mockumentary shows that we know, they're almost exclusively comedies. So it is weird to take a drama and do it in that style.
Yeah. I don't disagree. I think it is, if you can't get past that part, then you're not going to enjoy the episode. It was different. I think I would like to see a comedic episode of Grey's. Like, if there was a comedy episode. Like, if it was shot in the style of Scrubs. Mm-hmm. I would love that. What's crazy to me is that they do a mockumentary style episode and there's a musical episode at some point. So good for them for trying new things and doing, cause was there any, what was the previews like for this?
I did not watch them, but I will watch them in between this and the next one we record and we will talk about it.
Okay. All right. Should we talk about either Lily
did
or
did you write this?
What?
I pissed my wife's underwear as soon as this episode came on. I was thinking to myself, if I shit myself at 3:43 this Thursday, would anyone care that I stole and ate all of the paper towels from work?
No, but that's really, that's very funny. That's highly comedic, and I love that.
Okay. Yeah, so it's really, I think a lot of people are also saying they don't like that it was like a lot of major plot points that are in this episode. So they hit really major plot points in a very not Grey's way. So I kind of see that, but I'm like, again, there are some episodes of Grey's where it's just like setting things up. And those can be really just like filler episodes. So this is making a filler episode, not just a filler episode. Also, last week when I said I remember why they were going to get money, my assumption is they got money for doing this. And that's what Weber was talking about. They got like $1 million for doing this. That's my assumption. I don't think they ever confirmed that. That's just my assumption. And it was discussed on Patreon behind your back, and that was the agreement that some of us came to.
Is there anyone in our Patreon that does not like this episode actively?
I would imagine yes, but I don't know that it's been explicitly said.
Okay. I need to know. So what are we talking about now? Should we talk about
Lily? Now we can talk about Lily.
I was gonna say Christina and Meredith, but Lily works.
No, we got shit to say about Christina and Meredith.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What a good Alex episode.
Yes. Except, Alex, the world does not need your toxic masculinity. It's okay to like kids, and it's okay to like peds because you like the way that you feel when you help tiny fucking humans.
Yeah.
It's okay. Although it is interesting the way he framed it when he keeps saying like peds is elite and peds is hardcore and there's only 38 peds fellowships in the country versus 120 plus or 130 plus in the country for like cardio, for example. Honestly, that's kind of cool if that's what he's going for. Maybe there's going to be some spots opening up at Seattle Grey's Mercy West. With apparently two people leaving.
Oh, right. I thought you meant a Peds Fellowship.
Isn't Arizona on a Peds Fellowship?
She's a Peds attending.
On a fellowship.
No.
She's a fellow attending.
Fellows are not attendings.
But attendings are fellows.
No, also no.
All fellows are attendings, also but not all attendings are fellows.
Both things you said around. Are incorrect.
Like it's like that meme where it's all peas are not poops, but all poops are peas.
Anyways, it's not. I mean, It's not.
All They're farts not. Are not poops, but all poops are not farts.
So Lily's in the hospital. She has benign tumors on her trachea, and they cause her difficulty breathing. She's been in and out of the hospital many times for it. They've done surgery for it, but it keeps coming back, even though it's benign. And so there's also other, like, fistulas, which I believe are just, like, scar tissue healing, like, polyps, kind of, around surgical areas. She has it. They try to do... What is the thing? What's the thing? Intubation. Thank you. Thank you, self. I got there. They try to intubate her, and they can't. It's too much block. So they have to do, like, the tracheotomy.
Emergency trach,
in the room. And then they are like, well, we're going to have to go in the surgery and take out the tumor, but also we can't because we'd have to take out her total trachea, so then she can't breathe. So we're going to have to do nothing or... do surgery, and both options kill her. So
talk about a catch 22. The most concerning symptom that she had when they were going through and listing everything is the fever, right? Mm-hmm. Bieber fever. Needed to rep Alex on that one. And did you peep that iPod Touch that she had?
Mm-hmm. Classic.
Classic. When he's singing in while she's in getting her MRI, I'm like,
that Alex. Is one of the cutest moments in the history of this show,
maybe of all cinema ever created.
Like, literally incredible.
Yeah. So the thing that I don't like about this storyline is Weber's involvement. Really, Weber is just being a goob.
Yeah, I don't like Weber in this episode because it feels like he's whoring out other people's trauma to make money.
Yes.
And it's yucky. And it's peak capitalism.
Yeah. You know, it's so crazy that these guys are building a trach. A sweet shirt! Is that the new one?
Yes.
Yo, I need that shirt.
It's a Target shirt. And it's 30% off, so it's less than $10.
I need it.
It's so fucking funny.
Is it men's sizes?
It is a men's shirt. Okay. I don't even look at the women's shirts at Target anymore. The men's ones have so many better options.
Yeah, that's fair.
This one's so good. When I saw it, I was like, I don't need that. And then I was like,
I might buy it.
I do have to buy it, though.
And I need to, I might wear it to church on Sunday.
Please.
Or work. I'll wear it to work.
Did you ever read these books as a child?
No. I was poor.
We had them all. No, we had. They were falling. I think they were from my mother's childhood.
That is so good. And I love that. We had the Berenstain Bears.
Oh my gosh, I love the Berenstain Bears.
What did you just call them?
Berenstain Bears.
Is it not Bernstein?
No, it's Berenstain Bears because they're bears. That's why it's funny.
And because they're written by the family related to Sacha Baron Cohenstein Bears.
No. Anyways, so I'm wearing a frog and toad shirt. It's from Target. It says, "We must stop eating," cried Toad as he ate another. And it's got a picture of them eating. Anyways, it's a good shirt. Get it at Target now.
I want it. Yes. Target, sponsor us. Target style. Hashtag.
Please. Oh, my God.
So we come to find out that, so Alex kind of has this interview piece that he's talking with the film crew about how the parents aren't around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that they're bad parents. They're just busy. And we find out this mom specifically. Also,
capitalism.
Yes, capitalism as well. You wouldn't just leave me here to die and send me home, would you? Throwback to last week's episode. Yes, they would. They have these cot rooms set up for the parents. So sweet. But this lady, this sweet mom, is driving 3 hours round trip. Single mom.
Three hours each way.
Each way. Sorry. And she can only get there for, like, the weekends and, like, one day a week or something like that. So this kid is going through multiple days at a time not seeing her mom.
Mm-hmm.
So sad.
And just, like, being on her own other than doctors. And it's like, you can be there all the time, but it's like, if you have to have insurance, like, you got to work to have that insurance.
Uh-huh.
So it's just fucking trash.
unless this $1 million investment that Weber has is going into paying these people's bills for being part of their camera crew situation.
It's alas. Going to Owen's trauma. It's trauma going, training.
Yeah, trauma training. So the way that they were... There's a gnat.
You all right?
There's a gnat on my pop filter. The way that they were describing building this girl's trachea. Can you read it again? Can you read that? Can you read that scene, the dialogue from that? And also, we need to recognize that in that scene, Weber was being kind of a D-head, a dickhead, if you will. Because even Alex was like, dude.
Like, yeah.
Even in the midst of chaos and trauma and death, these doctors are finding a reason to inspire and reinvest in medicine, feel reinvested in medicine. And he holds up this green, this pink jar of flubber. Like... And then Alex is like, dude, that's Gatorade. Don't drink it.
Basically, we break the cartilage down to its cellular level and turn it into a protein liquid. We build a scaffolding to hold the liquid. Then we cook it in an incubator to let it grow. This is the incubator. We're going to let it grow. We're going to grow the trachea here first. And once it's big enough, we will insert it into Lily's abdomen till it gets stronger. It'll be there a few months. Then we'll take that trachea out and replace her old one.
So they took out some rib cartilage, they put it in a test tube, they made it in an incubator, then they put it inside of her, then they took it out of her, and they put it back inside of her.
So they cook it in the little incubator box, and then they cook it in Lily, and then they take it out of Lily, and they put it in where she needs it.
And all of that before it even gets to the easy bake oven.
Exactly.
That way that they were doing science, and he's just like taking this rib cartilage and he's like, he's using a little turkey baster, and then all of a sudden it's a trachea. And I'm like, science has come too far, maybe.
No, it's good.
It's this good. Particular science
wild,
is
wild, but it's good.
Inspiring, is it? Isn't it? I mean, the cute thing about that. So, Alex, again, you were kind of that end scene where he's like, I need to practically live at the hospital to. Make sure no one screws up this trachea.
Eat, working breathe, hard and on sleep it. Trachea.
I brush my teeth to trachea.
Oh.
That was a callback to Get Him to the Greek. You never see that movie?
Nope.
Oh, you've seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall, though?
Yeah.
See, it's funny because for the longest time, I had only seen Get Him to the Greek. I hadn't seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and then I finally watched Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I think Kristen Bell is hot.
Kristen Bell's great.
I don't think that she's hotter than Mila Kunis, though.
Very different types of people.
Yeah. You know, I met Jason Segel. Segel.
When?
At a book signing.
Why were you at a book signing?
To meet Jason Segel. I bought the book to meet Jason Segel.
I see.
I also bought a book to meet Tom DeLonge once.
You know, I read that he eats cereal with water and not milk, and that's psychotic to me. So,
well, I need to stop listening to Blink-182 right now.
Yeah, I would if I were you.
So the best part of this storyline is that she is spared the encounter with the Grim Reaper. And she lives.
Yes, she lives. And also...
I was so nervous that she was going to die. I was scared.
The best part about this storyline is at the end when she takes Alex to show and tell.
Yes. Basically.
They're like, what was the best part about your experience? And she's like, my friend Alex. So cute.
You know, I always knew I'd be a rock star, but maybe I'm going to be a doctor instead.
Oh, so cute.
So cute.
Also, when Alex is like, don't drive drunk and don't do drugs and don't give your number out to boys. And he's like dadding her.
Yes.
So cute.
I hope that if Marlo is ever sick, she has a doctor like Alex in Arizona.
Also, I read that Justin Chambers, who plays Alex, actually has a decent singing voice, so he had to practice to sound like he was someone who didn't know how to sing.
It's my problem, too. Anytime I'm out at karaoke, I have to tone it back to not embarrass people.
I don't think you've ever toned anything back in your entire life.
It's a good point. I do have one particular go-to song for karaoke, though, to not impress people too much with my incredible vocal range. It's Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison.
Every rose has its thorn. Just like it. We should duet that. That would be a good duet.
What's the next wedding we're going to be at together?
Like none. I think everyone's done. No, wait, maybe not.
Well, we missed one.
Is it? Never mind. Doesn't matter.
All fair conversation.
Or we can just go to karaoke. I don't know why we need to usurp someone's wedding to perform a song.
There is no performance like a wedding performance, and I would know. Or the House of Blues. House of Blues was sick.
You never performed at my wedding.
And we'll see you all in the next one. No spoilies. Don't forget. Okay. When Alex was in his shirt and tie at the show and tell, also mm-hmm. very cute.
Yes, that was very cute.
But that means he drove 3 hours to her school.
Yes, that's so cute. And then 3 hours back. That's so cute.
Probably on his day off, too.
Mm-hmm.
That made me happy. That storyline made me
very
happy.
Was there anything else you wanted to say about Alex or Mary and Miranda and Lily?
I the last thing I wanted to say that felt a little bit icky with Weber on this is when they're originally pulling out the cartilage for the rib. Like, Weber's there with Arizona and Alex, and he's like, all right, so we're taking out the cartilage. And why is that, Alex? And Alex answers, and he goes, and why is that, Dr. Karev? And he's like, see here, we have smart doctors.
Yeah.
This is a teaching hospital.
Damn it.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Weber, again, like you said, he's kind of whoring it out. But honestly, like, do I blame the guy for trying to capitalize on a potential publicity stunt? Like, it is the American dream, after all.
It's really not the American dream. It might be the American way, but it's not the American dream.
Right. The real American dream is getting hit by a Lexus.
Okay, well, we'll pick up in the next episode with everyone's favorite segment.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.